Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, okay, it's 02-02-2020. It's 40 days after Christmas. 40 days after those gifts have been forgotten. 40 days in which time your bills come due. Less than 40 days after your New Year's Eve weight loss resolution is either successful or been given up. Boy, that's depressing, isn't it? So 40 days since Christmas. And if you've been paying attention to our gospel lesson, it's like kind of back and forth. The wise men show up, and then there's the flight into Egypt, and Jesus is baptized, and now he's presented at the temple 40 days after, and it's like these things aren't all kind of in order. This is 40 days after Christmas. I'm imagining that Joseph and Mary are still in Bethlehem before the flight to Egypt. 40 days. How? You still consider him a newborn. 40 days. Well, something big happens on this day, 40 days after Christmas, because everything changes when Jesus is brought into the temple. The Gospel of Luke starts in the temple with Zechariah hearing from Gabriel about his son that he's going to have, John the Baptist, who we just heard about a couple weeks ago. John the Baptist points to Jesus. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Gospel of Luke ends in the temple, by the way, when after the ascension, Jesus' ascension into heaven, all the disciples go back where? Back to the temple. So the temple's kind of a big deal in the Gospel of Luke. And here we are, Mary and Joseph, according to the laws of, the Torah, the instruction of the Lord in Leviticus 12, 40 days you bring the firstborn son to the temple to present him to the Lord. And there's a man there waiting, and if you look at the front cover of your bulletin, there's a picture of him, Simeon. Perhaps he's a very old age. He always is in the pictures, so it must be. The Bible doesn't really say, but it kind of suggests, well, he's waiting to see God's salvation before he dies. So we like to think that he's an older man. He's waiting. Waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled. And the Holy Spirit fills Simeon with the Spirit and brings him to the temple that day. I guess maybe an expectation. And his life has changed forever. And Mary and Joseph, surely their lives have changed forever too. And so for every man, every Christian woman, every child, our lives are changed forever too. First, let's talk about the parents, Mary and Joseph. There's a picture of them on the cover too. And I don't know what you think of that picture. It's sometimes you think Mary and Joseph, everybody would have known who they are. But really, they probably didn't stand out from the crowd very much. They were just ordinary people. So it's kind of a surprise that Simeon comes and talks to them. Sometimes we think that pictures of the Holy Family, you know, there's a halo encircling their head so you can tell who they are. Well, that's for you and me. But Mary and Joseph come to the temple and they bring this little baby just like every other 40-day-old baby that's going to be presented. And they get in line and there's a line for sacrifices. Nothing unusual about them. In fact, we kind of know that they're ordinary people and kind of poor people. Because the law of the Lord prescribes that you're supposed to bring a lamb in this case for the firstborn son. You're supposed to bring a lamb to be sacrificed before the Lord. Except if you can't afford it. That's when it's two turtle doves or a couple of pigeons. Maybe you can catch them on the way in. I don't know. That's how poor they were. But Mary and Joseph were kind of like other parents, like us. If you're a parent, or if you're going to be. And when you ask a parent what they want for that child that they're holding, that 40-day-old child that they're holding in their arms, what do you think they say? I want happiness for this baby. I want health for this baby. Maybe a long life, Lord. Lord, I want this child to grow up strong, healthy. And Lord, I would like this child to grow up strong in the faith. And Lord, I pray that you would keep this child away from all the harm that's in this world and all the evil that's in this world. Keep this child away from those who abuse alcohol and drugs. Keep this child away from those who would lead him into casual sex before marriage. Keep this child away from things on TV and the internet that are going to just harm this child. And Lord, I pray that this child may never have to go off to war. And what parents are really saying when they pray these things, when they hope these things, when they dream these things, is they want what's best for their kids. You know this. But it's also a bit about themselves. They have their own feelings for this child that they bore. They have their own dreams and hopes for them. And they just don't want their hearts broken. Doesn't that speak to us all? So Mary and Joseph are there in the temple, and what do they hear? This man comes up to them, takes Jesus in his hand and says, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce your heart also." For Mary, that happens. It's got to happen at the cross. So that the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. So that although Mary and Joseph are carrying this 40-day-old son into the temple that day, kind of as nobodies, this son that they carry in will turn the world upside down. And he's not going to have our version of happiness. He's going to lose his health for our sake on the cross. His earthly life, it's not going to be all that long. And those in the temple, those learned in the faith, they're going to consider him to be outside of it, even a blasphemer. He won't be safe from harm. And he's going to spend his life with the wrong crowd, with those alcohol abusers and prostitutes and those tax collecting cheats. And he is going to be sent off to war against nothing less than sin itself and death and hell. And the devil, that's who he faces in his life. He's going to bring about the fall and rising of many in Israel. People are going to have a reaction to Jesus. Either they're going to hate what he has to say, they're going to reject what he has, the love that he offers them, and say, I don't need your forgiveness. They want the world to stay in its broken, hurtful way that it is. They're going to fall before him. But the lowly, the meek, the lonely, those who are wearied by this world, those like Simeon, are going to be raised up by him. Not because of what they've done, but because of what he will do. Simeon was there as a man on a mission, searching, waiting, looking for this consolation of Israel that's been promised for so long. It seems like it's been promised so long, it's never going to get here. Well, here it is. On this day, 40 days after Christmas, he's presented with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit tells him, you're not going to die before you see that salvation, before you see the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit kind of has a surprise for him. Because not only are you going to get to see him, Simeon, you're going to get to hold him. How about that? So Simeon gives voice to the peace that he receives that day. In a song that we still sing, we're going to sing it later. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. When you go away from today, we say to you, I say to you, depart in peace. Just like Simeon. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Just as you've promised, you've come through. And even more. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, often at the end of a funeral, we say these words. Now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Salvation granted to us in baptism. Your dearly departed. That's now what they see. That's how they rest in peace. They've departed in it. And now they have seen that salvation. And someday we too will sing that song perfectly and fully in tune. Now and forever, because of the child that was presented in the temple that day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the world-weary ones, just like Simeon that day. And this child is the one who changes the world. He does that by fulfilling all of the law of God on our behalf, because we couldn't do it. He was the one conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And that was so that God's perfect plan in Christ could be fulfilled. Every, down to the last two turtle doves. So that we too could be made pure. Just like Mary and Simeon and Joseph, for that matter. By this child, this Christ child. Like Simeon, our eyes are also open to see him, even in the worst of times, in the worst times in our life. In Jesus' weakness as this 40-day-old helpless baby, yet he brings salvation. And when we are weak too, when we are as weak as and helpless as a 40-day-old baby, we have the Lord's salvation. sometimes when we feel like God is, that this little child of Christ is our only comfort. When we feel that that Christ is our only comfort in life. And that's what we're holding on to. That's when He is closest to us. That's your salvation. That's who we are this day, 40 days after Christmas. And our salvation is growing. And now we're like Simeon, ready to depart in peace. We speak to one another about what God has done. During this life, yes, we're like Mary, and we may have to have a sword piercing our hearts until our eyes are open for good. And we will see the Lord's salvation completely. And look upon the light of the world. Rejoice in that Lamb of God. And dwell forever in His peace. God grants this to us because of that baby Jesus. That 40-day-old baby presented this day in the temple. In His name, amen.